Hello and welcome to the Friday, January 18th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Oslo, Norway. Remember, I told you to keep Java turned off even after applying the latest emergency patch. Well, turns out that we may have another Java exploit. One was sold for $5,000 in an online forum, and there are some credible reports from people who analyzed the patch that it actually may either not fix the entire problem or only one of two vulnerable conditions. So while at this point there is no publicly available exploit for Java, it's very likely that Java is still vulnerable and that there is a credible exploit in the works for a vulnerability related to the one that was just patched by Oracle. So in short, keep Java turned off if you can afford to do so. At the very least, keep the high security setting enabled so it does require user interaction to start if an applet is embedded on a web page, even though there is even some talk now about whether or not this setting can be bypassed by a malicious applet. Well, and while we're talking patches, there are a couple other patches that are noteworthy. CentOS released CentOS 5.9 with a number of security improvements pulled in from the corresponding CentOS release. Of course, there's also the 6th track of CentOS. If you're already on the 6th track, you don't really have to worry about CentOS 5.9. Fox IT, the alternative PDF reader, it was susceptible to an unpatched and exploited flaw recently. Well, there's a patch available for it, so if you're using Fox IT, patch. And PHP, if you're running PHP, a new version was released today. I don't see any significant security issues that are fixed in this latest version of PHP, but there are some denial of service conditions and such, and validation issues that they probably want to fix at some point. Now, you may have heard that Microsoft will be discontinuing its Messenger service and switch over to Skype. Skype, of course, was purchased by Microsoft last year. So not a big surprise that malware is taking advantage of this. In particular, the Shylock malware is advertising itself as an update to Skype. The emails used to spread Shylock look pretty convincing. They sort of use the standard Microsoft color schemes and fonts to trick the user into installing the malware, believing that it is Skype. Now, once it is installed on a system, a new plugin into Shylock also allows it to spread via Skype by sending messages via Skype and also transferring files via Skype. This, of course, we have seen before, and Shylock is playing somewhat a catch-up here. It's also now spreading via USB and file share, which, again, is another very common feature in malware. And medical device security is in the headlines again, even though some of the headlines, I think we're overdoing it this time. At the S4 conference in Miami, some vulnerabilities were demonstrated in image analysis software that typically connects to Philips X-ray systems. Now, in this case, the X-ray system itself is not affected. It's the image analysis software that is actually vulnerable. Of course, this would still allow access to patient data, which is certainly a problem, but it does not allow control over the X-ray system, which of course could have more far-reaching health and safety implications. In other news at that conference, there were also some demonstrations about iPad applications used in medical environments that again put the data at risk by offering shared user accounts and also not encrypting data or using RDP connections, for example, in order to connect back to remote workstations. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.